This morning I was talking about the fact that we are saved for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve and to be servants of the Lord. And that doesn't mean just a select few. That means that every one of us in here is to serve the Lord. And as a matter of fact, we are to give our lives, every one of us here, our lives are to be given to the Lord for His service. That could be wherever you find yourself, wherever you work, wherever you walk, wherever you live. That's your assignment. You need to bloom where you're planted. This is not a part-time thing that we do. This is a full-time responsibility, because not only do we have privileges as children of God, but we have responsibilities as kingdom citizens. Amen. We are responsible to do our Father's will. And Jesus is very clear about this, that there is nothing more important than the will of God for our lives, and that we would do what we're called to do during the time we've been granted here on the earth. And many know that we are in a race, and there's only so much time to run the distance of this race. And so we are to run this race in such a way that it's as if to win the prize. In other words, we don't want to be slothful. I talked about that this morning, that work itself is a spiritual act of worship. It's not to be separated from your Christianity. I mean, your work, what you do, your career, whatever God has gifted you to do, that is your spiritual act of worship unto Him. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all, right, for the glory of God. And so we get caught up very easily into this need-driven mentality of, I come to church because I have needs. Well, we all have needs, would you agree? Yeah. And it's a good place to come if you have a need, would you agree? Yeah. But our number one priority cannot be our needs. This is the problem. In many cases, we, and I include myself in this, I have to watch it that I don't get consumed with my wants and my needs. And I begin prioritizing that before the will of God. Jesus is our example. He didn't have an agenda. He didn't put His needs and His wants before the Father's will. He did the Father's will, and in so doing, He was taken care of. He was provided for. He says, my food is to do my Father's will, or my meat in the King James, and to complete the work that He's given me to do. So we as His followers need to follow in His footsteps. This morning we read from Psalms 106, verse 10, where it says, He saved the Israelites from the hand of him who hated them. Now we know Pharaoh is a type of Satan. But they are under this Egyptian bondage and under the hard taskmaster. And God redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. It says in verse 11, the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed His words, and they sang His praise. But it doesn't end there. They soon forgot His works. They did not wait for His counsel. Now, when things are going well, it's easy to rejoice. Right after a victory, it's easy to sing His praise. But we need to remember what the Lord has done, because it was the fact that they did not remember the works of the Lord that they soon got into trouble. When we forget our testimony, when we forget what God has done, we start to fall into unbelief. It says they soon forgot what? His works. What He had done. He had just done this incredible, you know, deliverance. The 10 plagues that came upon Egypt, and they were brought out by the blood of the Lamb, and there was victory in the camp, and they were all excited or on their way to the promised land. Oh, won't you come and join with me? We are bound for the promise. Oh, what happened? What is this wilderness? This dry and barren land, this place full of serpents, and nothing green grows out here. No shopping malls. Oh, wow. I should have put that in this morning as one of those things that we're like, oh, no shopping mall. What would we do? But they soon forgot his works, and they did not wait for his counsel. What happens is when we start to forget and when we find ourselves in the place of pressure, we're tempted often to try to look for shortcuts, for quick fixes. And we're not always, you know, willing to wait on God because we think maybe God's not hearing me. Maybe God, yeah, God worked then, but I don't know about this time. He took care of it then, but I don't know if he's going to take care of it now. They soon forgot. And we need to remember what the Lord has done. Passover was a remembrance. That's why they had to celebrate Passover, so they would not forget. They had to remember what the Lord had done for them. Once you begin to forget what God has done, then you start to get into the unbelief. And then we start to often grumble. We begin to complain. Because, God, I've been praying about this. I've been seeking you about this. But it doesn't seem like you're hearing me. And you're certainly not moving fast enough. It says they did not wait for his counsel. They did not listen for his instruction. See, God wants to speak to us, but God speaks to us in his time. Because everything is time with God. Amen? His timing is always perfect. And if we get things when we think we want them, we'll make a mess of our lives. And that's why God says, wait on me, wait patiently for the Lord. Trust also in me, and he'll bring it to pass. But you've got to wait for his counsel. Wait for the time when he does speak. If God's not speaking, hold your ground. Don't do anything until you hear from him. Believe me, I can tell you some stories about the times when I didn't wait for God, and I jumped ahead because, well, God's not hearing me, obviously, or maybe he's just wanting me to do this. And I get presumptuous and I just step out and do something foolishly. When God speaks, it's going to be at the time when you need to hear that instruction. But you've got to wait for him to speak to you. And make sure that it's God speaking to you, because more often than not, before the Lord speaks to you, somebody else is going to be speaking to you. He's going to be offering you a shortcut, a quick fix, a way around. You don't have to go through the process. You can just do it in one event. It's tough sometimes, isn't it? Waiting on the Lord's time. But again, you have to know and you have to believe that God is with you and that God is for you. He really, really is for you. He really, really does care. He really, really does love. He wants you to trust him, trust his heart for you. Wait on the Lord. If you don't have an instruction, don't move from where you're at. There are people who leave churches and move from one church to the other because they got impatient with God, or they might have gone through a dry season and they blame it on the church, or they blame it on something or someone. And it may be simply just a test that they're going through, a period for their own development, a part of the process. Or my ministry's not happening fast enough. We all say, God, use me. Here I am. Use me. I want to be used of you. And he says, okay, good. I'm going to take you through a process. I'm going to prepare you for what. And along the way, you'll have opportunities. It may not be the full-blown thing, but he's going to prepare you along the way for what he has. How many know he's working in all of us here? Because all of us are servants. All of us are ministers. And so we have to wait on his counsel. Israel got impatient. They didn't wait on his counsel. Instead, they began to whine and complain. And God hates that. Why? Because it's unbelief. When we start whining about our situation, what we're saying in so many words is, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust that you're going to come through for me, or that you're not fair, or that you don't care. Come on. And sometimes the only thing that we have to go on is a past experience, a memorial of what the Lord has already done for us. David himself would encourage himself in the Lord. He would remind himself of the things that God had accomplished in his life. How he pulled me out of the miry clay, you know, set my feet upon a rock. And he would encourage himself at times. And God allows things to happen in our lives, blessings to come our way, experiences along our way to prepare us for what's coming. Because there comes a time, and I have found this to be true in my own life. Maybe you know what I'm talking about too. And that is, there are times when you get your socks blessed off. Amen. But immediately after that, you go into a deep trial. What is God doing? He's packing your lunch before you go on the journey. He's getting you ready for something. But he's not going to leave you there. Everything he does is has a season of time. It's just a process of time. And whatever you're going through right now, you're going to be looking back at someday soon and say, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. That word you said tonight. Because of your experience, you're able to empathize with others. It was God working, God allowing something to condition you so you could be in a position to help others. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about. With the comfort that we receive, we can comfort others. It says they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and they tested God in the desert. In other words, we want it now. We don't want to wait for the counsel of God. We want to get what God, you know, has right now. And God, we don't like this lunch you've given us here. We're getting tired of eating manna and water. If all you've got to eat is manna, thank God for the manna, right? It's heaven food. It's angel food. And if he's providing manna, how many know that God is on the scene? Amen? That God is there. God is doing it. So if he's doing that, know that he can do much more than that. But there's got to be a reason why he hasn't given them meat. Why? Because he was trying to teach them that you need to depend on me. You need to know how to hear my voice. Because if you don't listen to my voice, you're going to end up listening to the wrong voice. And the wrong voice is going to get you in trouble over and over again. And he's going to try to abort the promises of God in your life. He's going to try to prevent you from entering into the promise because many of them did not enter into the promise of God because of unbelief. So God is saying, learn to hear my voice. Wait for my voice. Wait for me to speak. Wait on my time. Because sometimes we're jumping ahead of God and we're not ready for what we think we are ready for. And what did he do? They grumbled, God, give us meat. And so he gave them quail. It rained down upon them. It says in verse 15, God gave them the request. They bellyached and bellyached and said, God, okay, here, have it. Till it was what, coming out their nose? Ears, nose, wherever. They had a lot of quail. But sent leanness into their soul. That word leanness means thinness. In other words, they were skinny spiritually. They were probably putting on a few pounds in the natural, but they were becoming skinny in their soul. And you know, sometimes we mentioned it this morning, but in the American dream and the pursuit of just temporary things and the impatience sometimes, we may have a fat wallet, but we'll be impoverished spiritually because we did not put God's things before our things. We did not seek first the kingdom. Instead, we're chasing after this and we're chasing after that. And it's often when people get what they've been asking for from God, God gives it to them because they kept asking him for it. And now they got what they want from God. And where are they now? And we don't need God now. We got what we needed. See you later. How many of you want your kids to be like that? They just come around when they want something from you. But don't we enjoy those times? Don't we enjoy those times, though, when our kids just hop up on our lap and just want to hug on us and love on us? Just want to be with you? We all know what it's like to be in the store when they're just jerking on you. Come on, give me that. See, I want that candy bar. I want the candy bar. And sometimes we're just like that with God, you know. Give me that candy bar. And sometimes we reluctantly give our kids something because we know too much candy is not good for them, right? But sometimes we just give it to them anyways just to hush them up. God gave them what they wanted but sent leanness into their soul. What was wrong with a little meat? What was wrong with a little comfort food? You know, come on. Can you imagine eating? It'd be like eating maybe sweet saltines or something with a little kind of a honey taste to them. He said it was just kind of like a wafer. And water, you know. And sense sweet bread and water, day in, day out. Yeah, come on. Certainly it's reasonable to want the meat. Why were they asking for meat? Was it wrong for them to ask for the meat? What was God trying to teach them? He's trying to teach them to trust Him, to wait on His time. There was nothing wrong with the meat. The meat was going to come, but the meat should come when God says it's time. And so everything is a process that we're going through. And if we're not careful, we will forget what the Lord has done. And when we start forgetting, the next thing we start doing is complaining about our situation. And what does complaining do? It breeds more complaining. Do you ever get into a negative streak? You start griping about this, and then all of a sudden you just can't find anything good to say about anything. Your atmosphere gets poisoned with negativity. There's power of life and death in what we're saying, you know. What we need to do is reflect on, remember the blessings, amen, and the encounters of God in our lives and the times where He has demonstrated over and over again that I'm with you. Do you remember what I did for you? Do you remember what I did to the Egyptians? Do you remember how I carried you on eagle's wings? You know, remember the testimony of the Lord, because it will prepare you and it will sustain you in the time of wilderness, so that you will have confidence in your God to go forward and know that, yeah, up ahead, hallelujah, is a place called Marah. There's a place where there's water, and oh, there's just water up ahead. So they get excited because they've come upon some water, and they go to dip in and to taste the water, and the water was bitter. Have you ever had an experience like that where you're so happy because God answered your prayer? And you even start testifying about God answering your prayer only to find out that actually it wasn't an answered prayer after all. You ever had that happen? Been a little presumptuous with your testimony? I have. But what they needed to know and what they didn't know is in the time when they came to the pool that was bitter, which was also part of the process, whether or not they would trust the Lord, God had an oasis up ahead, Elim, where they were going to be taken care of and they're going to have a refreshing where? In the barren land, in the midst of it. It was an oasis. You know that God has an oasis for you wherever you're at tonight? Whenever you find yourself in the barren land, in the wilderness, God has an oasis. It's called His Spirit. You can come to Him and drink. You can be refreshed in Him. You don't have to starve. He doesn't want His kids to starve, but He wants us to learn to draw our life from Him. He wants us to learn that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. What do we need to be doing, folks? We need to be listening for His voice. We need to be doing what He says to do. Only what He tells us to do. So Israel's history tells us that we need to be careful what we ask for. We need to be careful that we are praying in the will of God. What was God trying to teach him? To pray in the will of God, to ask in the will of God, to trust in the will of God. Not in what I think is best for me. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Not seeking after needs, not seeking after comforts, not seeking after wants, seeking first the kingdom of God. God, you saved me. Jesus, you poured your life out. You gave your all for me. Now it's my turn to give my life away. Now it's my turn to give myself for your service, Jesus. Ah, it's my reasonable service to offer my body back to you. I'm an unprofitable servant. Everything I've received is by your grace. I didn't earn any of it. I've received your grace. Hallelujah. My God sustains me. But I want to make sure that my master's business is first taken care of. Amen. I want to first make sure that he's eaten, had his fill. That I've ministered to the Lord first. Abraham ministered to the Lord. Go and prepare the fatted calf. Bring him in. We're going to have a feast. The Lord has appeared to us. And he sat back and he watched with enjoyment as the Lord was ministered to. We had a Christophany where the Lord appeared to him. The three men came, remember? And Abraham ministered to the Lord. What are we called to do? Minister to the Lord. Make Jesus first. Make the kingdom our priority. Put God things ahead of our things. And when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you as well. I have found this to work for me. And I've also found out that I'm not stressed out about life when I'm seeking him. Isn't that true? When we're worshiping, when we're worshipers, there's no stress. You're not worried about a thing. Life is good in the God zone. Not only do you find peace for your soul, but the provision is on its way. God said he'd take care of it. If you take care of his business, he'll take care of your stuff. And so we first serve him, and then the day comes when we see Jesus in the kingdom, and he says, I'm going to have you sit down at my table in that time. I'm going to gird myself and I'm going to serve you. Wow. I'm going to probably be like Peter, oh Lord, not me. I had an example here. Cookie, my dog Cookie. She gets into a lot of these messages. So, but, you know, they have a nickname around the house, Sugar Daddy. They call me Sugar Daddy. So only with the dogs, that is, you know. Sugar Daddy's home, yeah, and they all come running because they know, oh, there's something good coming out of the treat jar, you know. And I'm a sucker for that, you know. And when they come and they're all excited to see me, it's like, man, how can you say no to that cute face? It's just anticipating a treat, you know. But folks, Heisuka's good about this, and she'll get on me because I give them too many treats, and she's right. I shouldn't. Because sometimes you can love them to death, you know, giving them too much junk. And so they're getting filled up on stuff that's really not good for them, but you gave it to them because you just wanted to give it to them. So I've got to be a good father and say, no, no treats. Sometimes I'll compromise with a biscuit, you know, but they don't like biscuits as much and they know the difference. They'll look at the biscuit and then they'll look back up at me. Yeah. But, you know, that's what was going on. It was the begging and the God, give me, God, give me. And he gave them what they wanted. And yet it wasn't really what they needed. Sometimes we're asking for wants and we're begging God for wants, but they're not needs. And what we need to know is that God will provide for our needs. And if we would be satisfied with needs, then God often will give you wants. But not until you learn how to be satisfied with the need being filled. Then sometimes the wants will follow. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes the wants, he'll give you the wants too. But he wants you to learn how to be satisfied with the need being filled. And that's why Paul the Apostle could say, being in prison and all the places he'd been beaten and stoned and left for dead, and, you know, a night and a day in the deep, and he could say, you know, I've learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content. To find contentment in God, who alone is my Savior, you know, who alone is my sustainer, who alone is my comforter. If you don't find comfort in God, you're going to look for comfort in the wrong places. And yes, you may fill yourself up on things of the world, but you're going to have a lean soul. And I want to be fat on the inside. Are you with me? I want to be well nourished in the Lord. In John 4 and verse 31, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, John 4:33, has anyone brought him anything to eat? They weren't getting it. And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now listen to what he said right after that. Are you hearing it, saints? Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows, he who reaps may rejoice together. What is he saying? We're saved to serve. What are we serving? We're serving the King. We're serving His purposes. Amen? We are to be about our Father's business, just like Jesus. We are about reaching souls. Amen? Making disciples. How many know that in probably many of our eyes today, Paul would be considered a workaholic? Night and day, night and day, night and day toiling. Paul worked hard. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Yes, it's by grace that you're saved. And that's not of us. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest we should boast. But we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. We should be working for the Master. And we should be diligently working for the Master. And we should also understand, folks, that when we're working for the Master, we are receiving eternal benefits. It's okay. God knows that. God wants to reward us in eternity. But that does mean that there's going to be a process, and it's going to be difficult, and it's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. Amen. In the long run, if we can see beyond the temporary to the eternal, and as Jesus, for the joy set before him, he was willing to endure the cross. Not only for his own pleasure, but because of the reward of having you and I as part of his family. The joy set before him. He saw you. He saw me. He said, hey, I'm going to have a family as a result of this that are going to be spared from the curse. They're going to come under my roof. I'm going to redeem and take to heaven with me. And that's why Paul said to the Galatians in 6:9, he said, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, verse 10, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's one another. Philippians 2:4, let each of you look not out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. We are saved to serve God. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Matthew 12:50, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother, my family, he's saying. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God will not forget your labor of love when you love one another. We give ourselves for one another. And by this shall all men know you're my disciples. When people come through that door, sometimes they don't know what to expect, folks. But when they see us loving one another, that speaks volumes. Because they're not getting that out in the world. Amen? And they can say, these people really do love each other. If we're walking in the Spirit, we will walk in love. We will love one another. And it won't be fake. It will be authentic. Love is not selfish. Love gives. Love serves. Love sacrifices. Love is long-suffering. So the question is, what is it that you want from God today? You know, often if I would ask that, even maybe on a Sunday morning, I said, well, what is it that you want from God today? We may say, a new car. Come on. You know, usually a nice boat would be, nice, you know, nice fishing boat with a Johnson 5 on the back, you know, and 500. What is it that you want from God? Well, a nice new house or, you know, come on. And sometimes we may, listen, it may be a legitimate need that you have. Well, I need to pay the rent, right? I need to buy some groceries. These are legitimate needs. But folks, what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples and trying to tell us is that you're worried about these things because you're not putting things in priority. You have not learned how to hear the voice of the Father. You have not learned how to seek his things. Take care of his things first. And then, when you have served him, then you can sit down and you'll have something to eat. Are you with me? And in the process of seeking God, you will also find that you don't have to be worried about anything. Because there's no worry. How many have realized that there's no fear in God? There's no fear in love. So when we're full of the love of God, when we prioritize him, when we said, God, it's your business. It's what you want first. Anything I want is secondary because I'm doing what I'm called to do. I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm just doing what I was called to do. And then Jesus said, listen, to those who serve me in this world, the day is coming when I'll have you sit down to meet at my table. And your reward is in heaven, you see. And there are times when God's going to move upon our hearts to minister to one another in the area of need. Amen? Amen. And often, if we're just listening to God, they don't even have to ask, because often the people that need something the most don't say much about it. Have you found that to be true? Sometimes there's people with legitimate needs that they don't say anything about it. But folks, I know, and I've seen it, and you have too, and you've been a part of this, that you've heard from God, and God told you, I want you to go and minister to that person. Buy them some food, give them some money, take care of their car, fix their pipes in their house, whatever it might be. God will move on your heart, and he'll say, this person has a need. And if we're all seeking God, we're going to hear his voice, and if we listen to what he says, people don't have to go around saying, would you help? There's been many times when there have been people, and I've heard many, many times, many testimonies where people had a legitimate need. They didn't say anything to anybody. They just prayed and they sought God. They just sought God in the kingdom. They kept that a priority. God, I'm just going to serve you no matter what it looks like. And then someone out of the blue just comes up and said, God told me to give this to you. You get a phone call. Something in the mail arrives. Unexpected. There's just so many ways that God can do it, but he'll do it if you seek first the kingdom of God. Folks, I'm telling you out of experience in my own life, many times where I've prayed and I've cried out to God, you know, we have needs. Well, ask and you shall receive. Ask. But make sure that you prioritize His stuff. Live for the gospel. Live for the kingdom. Live for His business. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, Matthew 5:16, and glorify your Father in heaven. Honor Him. Magnify Him. Luke 22:41. Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and He prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. What's He doing? He's struggling with being obedient. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. How many know that Jesus could have let Himself off the hook? How many know the adversary would have given Him a shortcut or an easy way out or a way around that cross? But Jesus resolved to be obedient to the Father even to the point of death, because there was joy up ahead. He was seeing beyond the cross. He had to. And so what did He do? He resolved to say, Father, whatever you want. Whatever you want, that's what I want. And Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. God saved us, not so that we could be served, but so that we would serve.